keeping you up to date on the world of social media. Industry experts, innovators, creators, storytellers, and the latest social media tools, tips, and tactics. This is Social Media News Live.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Social Media News Live. I'm Jeff C., and you're not.
And I'm Paul Gatter, and this is the show that keeps you up to date in all things social media and so much more.
Have you ever caught yourself wondering how the magic of short-form content can catapult your message into the spotlight? Maybe you're intrigued by tactics that turn brief videos into viral sensations, or maybe you're eager to harness the power of TikTok, YouTube Shorts, or Instagram Reels to craft a presence that truly resonates with your audience. If those thoughts have crossed your mind, then you are going to be glad you're here today, because we're excited to welcome a guest who excels in this dynamic domain. She's a wizard of short-form content, transforming quick clips into compelling narratives with her distinct creative touch. Shelly Nathan will be sharing her journey, her insights, and her strategies for engaging an audience in mere moments. So sit back, clear your schedule, clear your mind, and get ready for this week's episode of Social Media News Live. Shelly Nathan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing amazing. When you said wizard, that immediately made me have to go grab my wand.
Oh, look at that. So there we go.
I was like, oh, if I'm going to be called a wizard, then I must be prepared. I didn't know you were going to do that. So, well, but it's always at the ready.
That's good. That's really good. So Shelly has been on the show before, and she is really amazing. But if you don't know who Shelly Nathan is, she focuses on YouTube education, content creation tips, and creator economy conversations. She is a creator, a social media strategist, a conference speaker, podcast host, vertical video enthusiast, a live streamer. I was actually watching her live stream last night. She does some amazing stuff live. She is the creator of iMovie Made Easy, a comprehensive video editing course teaching you how to edit videos using iMovie. Shelly is also the owner of Content Minis, a micro content repurposing editing service, and she helps people make better videos so that they can share what they love with the world. She also loves vertical video and live streaming. A woman after my own heart. She has over 7 million views on TikTok, 6 million plus views on YouTube, and over 280 million views on Giphy.com. You got to tell me about that. She is a lover of efficiency, honesty, and simplicity. Shelly, thanks again for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited. That was quite the intro.
Well, you know, so tell me about the Giphy thing. Like, what are you talking? What is that? Like, those numbers were out of control.
I don't even know how that works. It's basically, you know, when you go into Instagram and maybe you're going to add a sticker. Mm-hmm. So like in the little reels and, or, you know, in the stories and whatnot. So that has an integration with Giphy. And then also sometimes you can see it on different sites. Like if you're on Facebook or, you know, they have Tenor and they have Giphy. Mm-hmm. So I will make GIFs or GIFs. I'm not going to start a fight, whatever you want to say. I don't care which floats your boat. And I will make them and I will put them up on my account there. And then people don't even know that they're using them. There's ones for like Taco Tuesday, YouTube subscribe button. There's a whole bunch of me like doing like happy birthday. I don't know why people want me saying happy birthday to someone else, but combined, if you see it, it's like, 280 something million times or views that people have on my stickers.
Is there a boot sticker? Because like even Adam's saying,
boot stickers.
She's bootacular as well. So there, yes, that is very, very true. It has to be a boot sticker. So I want to jump into this because, first of all, I want to do a shout out to our sponsor of the show, Ecamm. You can find out more about them at socialmedianewslive.com/Ecamm. They are what makes the show possible. But on top of that, Ecamm and Mediavine is sponsoring a meetup right before PodFest at the end of next month. Paul is going to be there. We are going to be actually at Magic Kingdom, the Hollywood Studios. We're going to go there and we're going to have a meetup. We're going to just chill out. We're going to eat some good food together. We're going to maybe ride some rides together. But if you would like to have more information about that, go to jeffc.com/PodFest. PodFest meetup. Mediavine's got some prizes. I think we're going to give away, Paul. What else is going on there?
You know? That's going to be great. Come join us. Let's have some snacks and explore Hollywood Studios and talk business while we wait. And it'll be a fun day.
It's going to be. Snacks. Shelly, you need to come. I mean, come on. That would make the day. So, anyway. So we're going to be actually when we're there at the park, we're going to be creating a lot of content. So this is perfect because we're going to be talking about short form content. So I wanted to talk real quick, Shelly, to start this off. Like, can you share like your journey into short form content creation and what, like inspired you to go to like TikTok and YouTube Shorts? Cause I was, cause you were on the show and I don't think TikTok really had taken off. And then I look over there and you're all the time on TikTok doing all this stuff. What made you start to focus on some of the short form content?
You know, it's really, PodFest was one of them, and that's how Content Minis actually was born. It was born at PodFest. And so as a quick aside there, I was a conference speaker there at that year, and I was on a panel and talking about how, well, I just love to tell people they're doing things wrong. And I was saying, you know, like, you're really messing up if you're doing these video podcasts and you're not ripping these clips apart. Sorry, that's my puppy. He really wants you to know he's here too. Casey had her moment. Cooper also wants to know that he's here. Gotcha. So I may have to pick him up. Good shake. So I love it when she shakes because it sounds like little castanets going
on. That's right.
It like does, it with her little like rings on the back where her harness is. But I was on this panel and I was telling people, like, you're really doing it wrong if you're not then repurposing and taking clips out and sharing all this content, because you could make quotables, you could make carousel posts, you could make individual short videos, especially if you have some sort of listicle type thing that you're doing, especially YouTube videos or podcasts. And then I had a couple people come up to me and be like, that sounds great. Could you do this for me? And I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm busy.
Right.
But then I actually had several people ask. And then I was like, well, I don't know, maybe I could do this. And so after that, I ended up taking on a few clients and I did it as more of a fractional based editor. And so I started doing it for a few people. I had too many clients and then I was like, oh gosh, I guess this is a thing. I'm gonna have to hire people. And then I ended up hiring 2-3 more people to do the same thing for others. And then we got into scheduling later. But so I was already a big proponent of vertical video. I already had a YouTube channel started called, at the time it was Vertical Video Vixen. It is now called Vertical Video Tutorials, because I did not like the search results that came up when I typed in the other.
I couldn't say that. Yeah.
It was not great for me. So I thought it was great because I just love alliteration. So I turned into Vertical Video Tutorials and I started talking about short form content. And it's so funny. I remember having a conversation with Nick Niman, the Niman brothers, Nick Niman and D, talking about how like vertical's it, man. It's like you see it everywhere. Like you see now Snapchat is ripped off stories and stories is ripped off this and all the, you know, all the reels are coming and now TikTok is coming. And I started talking about this way early, like 2019, 2020. You can see videos of me talking about it and being like, oh, you guys don't even know. It's the future. It's happening. People were like, people are never going to turn their phones and what a, you know, it's blasphemous. No, absolutely right. not. And I started talking about it. And there are live streams of me talking about it and saying like reasons why businesses want to do this and like all of these different things. And I was like, oh, I'm so mad at myself that I didn't just go full hog on it, because I would be the vertical video person. I still love it. And I believe in the power of it, because once you have a video, you can put it everywhere. And I love that kind of like say it and spray it mentality. But it's been a fun journey and it's not going to stop. It's going to only like accelerate what people want and expect out of vertical. But the problem is people are now so like inundated with all these sites that they're overwhelmed with like where to put it and what to do with it. And so I think that's just the next evolution, is then people being like smart about how to distribute.
That's a great point. That's a great point. So, and like you have over, I think it's over 40,000 followers on TikTok, and then you're repurposed. Cause I went and kind of, you know, stalked all your channels and I see you do put them everywhere. And that's what we do as well too. And one of the things for you guys who use, and I know Shelly uses it, is TubeBuddy has a new AI feature that I actually tested last week, for this, you know, this is a long show. It's about an hour, but you can actually go in and it tells you what to cut out for shorts. Like it gives you suggested time code to see that this might do well on YouTube Shorts. And I tested it and it did. So that's all this AI stuff is kind of cool to use. So Paul, you had a question. Yeah.
Yeah. So as we're building our you know, clipping up our shows or what, and putting them everywhere, what are your tips? And I think this is one of the challenges I have, is especially what are your tips for using these vertical videos to really engage with our audience, especially, you know, as they're in all these different places.
So mommy's talking. But one of the things that really like people have to get their head around is that unlike a video podcast or something like that, where it's a conversation, it's very, there's going to be lulls and ebbs and flows. Vertical video, you really kind of have to hit them fast and quick with a lot of informational quick bits that are kind of like interesting. And so for some people, they haven't quite figured out how to extract the pieces that are actually exciting enough on their own to stand. And so they think, what they have to do is take a 5-minute video and turn it into a 60-second video. And that's not actually true. What you need to do is create a short video that is engaging by itself. Mm. And because the audiences aren't always the same, right? Because you may have a whole bunch of people that come across you in the shorts feed and a reel and a TikTok who have never seen one of your long form podcasts or something. And the idea is, are you trying to have a similar audience? Or are you trying to have audiences that are like against each other? So if you think about it, if you do a whole bunch of short form videos on cooking, but what your main channel is about is other, it's long form video podcast right. about something, and you just happen to say something about chicken one day, that's not quite the same. It's not the same audience. And so it's not quite the same intended purpose. So if you have something like that, where the interests are and the audience members are going to be vastly different, then I would say put that short form content on a different type of channel. But if it's really going to drive home more of what you talk about in your long form video, then chop it up all day long and put it on your same channel. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, and kind of on that note, I want to like, so how do you adapt your content strategy for like different platforms like TikTok, YouTube Shorts, Instagram Reels? I mean, I know like on TikTok and Instagram Reels, you actually can go longer. And I know I've run into this, and I'm sure you have, when you repurpose stuff, Shelley, is like, okay, I've got to make it a minute so it'll fit on Shorts. So what are some of the considerations for each of those little platforms that you're putting that short form content on?
You want some insider information?
Yeah.
Sometimes inside of Final Cut Pro or Descript, I use Descript a lot, I will either speed up or slow down the clips to either get under or over the 1 minute mark. Some people really, when our clients, they want it over a minute because they're in the program where you can monetize on TikTok if the videos right. are over a minute. Mm-hmm. And some people absolutely want only shorts. And so they need to be under. So we make them 59.2 seconds. So it gets in there. So you can pretty much go up to 110% on a clip speed without someone feeling like weird about how right. someone is talking. But any faster than that, all of a sudden you start to like wonder. You have to go in and start like cutting out breaths. Basically to make it. But one of the things that's different about the strategies is, you know, so funny is about TikTok, I don't care what I put over there. And it's really just a chance to be like authentic and all over the mm-hmm. place. Mm-hmm. Whereas on YouTube, I try and be very structured and staying within my lane of a certain type of category of content. And if I think it's going to fall outside of that, then I put it on a different YouTube channel, of which I have like six. So that's just part of it. Like, I think you have to understand and respect the platforms a little bit. Like back in the day, I would tell people like, you don't put a wide video on Pinterest because people don't want to see that because right. their pins are usually the 10 by 80 by 1350 and they want to see vertical video. Just like certain times, I don't think sometimes that the full screen videos belong over on TikTok because people don't want to turn their phones. I don't know why. It's just too much exercise for their wrist to happen. That's right. So they just don't want to do it.
Right.
And you see, you know, where people used to do that and have the graphic that would be like, rotate your phone, mm-hmm. and they wouldn't. And there's already studies that show that like most of the time when people are holding their phone, it's going to be in a portrait orientation. So you might as well respect that. And why would you want to make extra work for yourself? Just let people, I used to say to clients, I'd be like, let people, they know where they want to be. So put the content you think that your audience wants to see on that platform.
Mm, that's good. Here's another question that I know, I don't know if it's still as controversial as it was when it first started, but should you have, you know, a separate shorts channel? Because a lot of people on YouTube, you know, they said, no, don't put it. It'll hurt your channel. If it's doing well, start a separate shorts channel. Or just, you know, I've had people say, well, just take your clips and put them on a separate channel for Social Media News Live. What are your thoughts on that? Does it matter? Are there plus and minuses? What are your thoughts since you're a YouTube strategist?
I think the answer is always, and if any of my channel members were here, they would tell you, I have my own emote sticker that I have for my channel memberships on YouTube that says, it depends, because the answer is almost always, it depends. It's situational in so many different types of, for channels. So if you're Seth Rogen and you know that like you have these 2-3-4 hour long conversations, it may not behoove you to have like these 5 minute clips of, you know, something, even if it is the same audience and same show, because some of the people really want to watch a 4 hour thing and they don't want to be seeing a 5 minute clip. So he has Joe Rogan clips or something. So someone right. who just doesn't want to see a 4 hour show can come get the cliff notes of it, or the Joe notes, I guess, in that case. But if you have, like I said, same audience in mind, it wouldn't in some cases, for some people, be bad for you to have it on the same channel. Because what happens if someone sees that short video and is so intrigued and says, oh my gosh, I need to see more of Jeff, that beard. Wow, I have to come see it. And then they come, and then it's only that, and you can't actually direct them to a long form video of anything else on your channel, even after they've decided and committed they want to see more of you. If you have it on another channel, all of a sudden it's like this disconnect. And every single time you put a disconnect or additional button clicks is basically what the disconnect is. Every time you put that in the chasm between you and the end destination of where you want them to be, you're going to lose more people. So if you want to make it easier on your audience, then you make it so that you have a long form video connected to that short form video on your same channel.
That's great advice. Okay. That makes sense to me. So I'm going to start making more of the social media news live ones because they can drive them to the long form traffic.
Good.
So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it comes back to same audience, same channel, different audience, chicken versus podcast video about something else, motorcycle repair, probably different channel.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So how are you balancing creating new content, balancing with the trends, you know, the trending music or trending clips or whatever, as opposed to just making clips from your show? How do you balance all of these types of videos?
It depends. Always. And so, because what is the content that you're actually going to be putting out? If it's something that doesn't require you or voice or listening to it, and it's just visually pleasing to look at, like maybe you're just doing a time lapse of something, or maybe you just have something with a caption with something that says like two reasons blank, and then in the captions. I hate those videos, but they're actually very engaging because people will read the captions. But if you have something like that, then absolutely go in and use the trending music because it's available to you. And when else in history of YouTube, before YouTube Shorts rolled out and this music monetization program, were you able to use songs that you'd hear on like top 40 radio?
Right.
You wouldn't get to do that. So if you want to take advantage of something like that and you don't actually need your voice and talking head, then do that. Some people will also do it and they put a song on and then just like put the volume all the way down. But some people actually get really irritated by that because they'll go to the sound for that actual sound and try and look for stuff. And then you just have this talking head and actually can bring bad vibes to the video because people are really upset.
Yeah. 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 I get that. So this is a great thought from Rich Graham. Any thoughts on shorts on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it? I guess it's X now. So
hi, Rich Graham. Oh, it's so nice to see you. I got to meet him actually for the first time in person at Vid Summit in Dallas.
Yeah.
So one of the things with X, I can't call it X. One of the things with Twitter is that you really have to optimize sometimes for engagement, which means like polarizing, shocking, like entertaining. Like those are the types of things that you need to sometimes see over on Twitter because of the fact that people are almost like engagement farming over there because Elon had rolled out monetization on those types of things where you get more comments, more views, more reach, you get more money. And so that's what you're competing with now over there. So if you don't have a strong opinion, if you don't have something that is maybe a little polarizing, if you don't have something that's entertaining in some way, you may not get as much engagement on Twitter as you would some other places. So what can you do? I mean, yeah, you can add the on-screen captions and maybe some emojis pop up and things, but you may have to actually take a controversial take on something and post that over on there as part of the strategy versus just like a generic, like, isn't this nice? Or you can post that, but just not expect a lot of engagement.
Gotcha. So on that kind of note, and you mentioned before that the shorts need to, you have to give them a lot of information in a short amount of time to get them hooked and continue to keep them watching. So is there any other strategies you have for short form content to increase like viewer engagement and, you know, I don't know if it's build a loyal following, but maybe it's like, you know, increase your follower count, because there are things that happen when you get to certain levels, you get like monetization or you get, you know, some opportunities over on TikTok. So are there some things that you see people that they really need to do? Like right out of the gate, they say, okay, in 2024, I'm going to do short form content. Shelly, tell me what to do.
The first 5 to 7 seconds in a short video are going to pretty much dictate how well that video is going to be received. Because a lot of the time, most people will discover your video in a feed like on YouTube. You might be scrolling through what they call the shorts shelf. So that's where they're just videos that are being served up to you. And what is interesting about that is short form content like that can actually be served to people who aren't subscribed to you. So if you're scrolling through shorts, it's not just people you're subscribed to, maybe not even just people that you've interacted with or like ever seen a video of. It could be complete strangers, which is so weird because YouTube doesn't even like to notify more than like 10 to 15% of your people who have notifications on that you have a new video, but it's going to serve up short form to everybody. And we're at like, well, I think they went from like, they're over 50 billion views a day on shorts. And so what's interesting about that as you're scrolling is if you can't do something at the very beginning to catch their attention, they will scroll on to the next one. So unlike a different type of long form video where you can be long winded and kind of winding, right, with short form, you have to be really concise with that first 5 seconds. You know, like if you're doing this, you're doing it wrong. Because people love to hate that people are telling them that they're doing something wrong, right? Or, you know, if you're a woman age blah, 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 trying, you know, or if it was something like, if you're trying to get pregnant this year, you know that it's not for you, or you know that it's for you right away, right? It's that like very quick hit at the very beginning. So if you have something like that, like, you know, this is the best vegan recipe you've never tried. And you're like, excuse me, what? Like, right. Don't you threaten me with a good time. All of a sudden they want to stick around and find out what that is. So if you can kind of craft whatever your short form content is going to be at the very beginning with that kind of sentence in mind, then you're probably going to have higher likelihood of success or people sticking around.
So one of the things, so like I have a TikTok channel where I do, like I put my Amazon reviews on and I did a lot of research to look at, and like you said, it depends. So I think it's different types of content. Like the things that I saw that worked well is showing very, very quickly what something does, or something that does, like for a product, something strange, or, you know, like silly string shooting out of a, you know, a Spider-Man launcher. Showing that at the very beginning will grab them first. Yeah. And then you can go and like in the amount of time show stuff. So is there different things you would say for like a podcast versus a product thing that might be really applicable to like a small business? Cause I know we have a lot of small business, social solopreneurs watching it. Like, cause I think they struggle with, okay, what do I say that will hook people? That hook is really, really hard. You know, trimming a clip, you know, most people can clip something down to a minute or whatever, but getting that hook, like what are some advice that you give to find that type of content that will hook people, especially for, you know, a small business who's starting to, you know, they're doing behind the scenes content. So how do they get that hook to work?
So even if we were to think about this podcast, we're coming back, and this is not telling you what to do. I'm just saying.
No,
so
tell me what to do, Shelley. Tell me.
No, because like, even if we had like a little aha moment where I was like, oh, you want to hear the insider trick to make sure you do this? You start with that clip. Right. Mm-hmm. And you have these different moments throughout the long form video that all of a sudden they're like, oh, that was actually really smart, or oh, that's a great idea. And you take those little and you can time mark them or whatever you would need to do. Mm-hmm. And then there's a reason why when you see some of these long form videos too, they start with either bloopers, they start with like something you're like, oh, I can't believe they said that. And then they rewind 48 hours earlier, right? Because they want to know that and just like a product review, there's nothing worse than sitting through a product review and then having them only show pictures of it or show like the manufacturer images of it. They want to know that you've had it, tested it, touched it with your hands. And so if you're going to be a product reviewer, one of the first things you have to be able to do is prove that you have it and you have it in your hands and you can show them, mm-hmm, you know, what you're doing with it. And so if it is like, you have to make that promise, like I'm unboxing it is not the same as like, here's a picture, right? They want to know like what comes in the box, what cables. And it's a lot of the time people get really romantic about thinking people care that you're in the video for like an Amazon product review. They don't care if you're in the video. Yeah. They want to see the product. That's the whole reason they're there. So people will be aghast when I say, oh yeah, I just do top down with my phone and I just open things and I show up my hands. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, you don't like get on camera? And I'm like, why? They don't care about that. They're not following me for that. They came to look at, you know, this phone case. So what good is it if I start with my face and then say, okay, now we're going to pan down here. Like they want to see it. And so if you can get into the, like the meat, the guts of whatever your video is, or like some of the best moments, I would say start with that. And a lot of time for businesses, they always focus on the feature and never the benefit, right? So let's say back in the day, you used to sell cell phone chargers and the cell phone charger has a red light that indicates that it's charging. And so people would be like, yeah, it has a red light. And then the follow-up is actually the more important one. Like, have you ever thought your phone was charging and it wasn't? Here's how you know that this isn't going to happen to you, because this little red light is going to come on, which means it's connected to your phone and it's receiving juice. That's how you know that you're actually getting a charge. And people always are just like, oh, look, this LED is red. that's not the point. The point is the opposite side of what happens, right? You don't want to be out there thinking that your phone is charged and it's not. So that's how a lot of businesses need to like twist their brain, because they love to tout about the things that their things have, but they don't actually tell you about the things that that thing does how it helps you. So that's the biggest change I would make
for people. That is a great point. Very good. And one of the things you mentioned, having your face on Amazon, I have mine in very, very small in the corner. Like you can do the pop-up thing for eCam, just because I'm tired of people stealing it. And if I have my face on it, they tend not to steal it as much. That's the only reason I put my little face, but I never start full screen like you're saying. The other question I have on these shorts, what about those ones that loop? Like they have edited in a way, they start with a question and it ends with the same question and it continues to loop. Are those effective? They seem really hard to do, but how effective are those?
Well, I mean, they're effective in this vanity metric that makes you say, oh my gosh, I have like 156% retention. Well, that's because they looped it on an 8-second video. Way to go. What was the actual point of the video? Was it to, you know, drive traffic, awareness, subscribers, you know, it depends. If that was the point of it, sure. If you can script it that way, and actually it's not as hard as you think, because most of the time people think that they end and that's where you cut and then you start. And most of the time to make a successful loop, you actually cut in the center of a sentence that actually can make sense as you loop it. So as you're creating your script, if you are scripting it just for at least that loop, do a sentence that can be broken up in half, makes sense either way, but makes sense more when you loop it.
Okay. See, gosh, I got to have Shelly on like every other week for all these great tips. It's free consulting for me. That's what I love it.
You get it.
So, and Gary's given some great examples. Like by the end of this video, you will learn 3 tips for content production that will change your life.
But actually if you took out the, by the end of this video.
Oh, so just, you will learn 3 content tips. Yeah. That's awesome.
Do you want to learn 3 tips for content production that will upload blah, blah, blah. And do you want to save 2 hours every week? Something like that, right? Because the longer that intro is, the more they have to mentally sift through to understand if they want to listen. So making it as short upfront as possible.
Very, very cool. That's
I'm not saying that you're doing bad, Gary. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to make you.
No, but this is what we want. Like this real time feedback. There we go. Because Gary's smart. He's a smart marketer. And so he'll do this. And he's really good at the short stuff too. So, so here's a question from Global Wildfire Equipment. So are you suggesting that a new channel do both shorts and long form content as well as live streams all in the same channel?
It depends.
I love it.
It depends, you know, it depends on the strategy between all 3.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's move on to the second, because everyone's talking about money and building your brand. Oh, yeah. So let's talk about that. Paul, I know you had a question on that.
Yeah. I've heard you mix in a couple of things, YouTube memberships, the Amazon influencer videos. So how have you diversified your income with, especially with short form video and vertical videos? And you kind of tell us some hints of what you've learned over the past couple of years.
I love this question. So actually what's really funny about that is on my YouTube channel on live streams, I had a series last year that was how much money I made in a month or something like that. And I would go unfiltered line by line through my bank account, through my PayPal, through everything. And I would show you no BS. This is how much I made in Amazon money. This is how much I made from my course, iMovie Made Easy this month. This is how much I made in sponsorships or affiliates. And I would list out the affiliate programs that I was part of. And so if you want to see it, there was a pie chart at the end that of each month that would show you how big a slice of the revenue pie, I like to call it, each of my different places were. And most of the time I try and encourage people to have at least 10 streams of revenue or more, 10 slices or more. And you would see that a lot of people would think that, oh, you see a YouTube channel, 40,000 subscribers, whatever. And I would be like, oh yeah, AdSense is like 3% of my overall revenue pie. Like it's tiny, it's a tiny little slice. And so I made almost all of my money from Amazon and from affiliates. And so I don't sugarcoat that in any way. If you want to see it, it's all on my channel. I'm very transparent about it because I feel like there isn't enough transparency around creator conversations about money and the economy that way. So if I have to be one of the first people to come out here and be like, hey, these are my numbers. You don't want to show me yours. That's fine. That's rude, but whatever. At least someone is putting out some information to start. Yeah. So some of the things are going to be, I made stickers and I put them on Etsy. I was known as the subscribe button girl because I had a couple of iMovie/keynote tutorials teaching people how to make subscribe buttons for their YouTube channel. And after a while, people were like, I don't want to learn this tutorial. Can you just make it for me? And I was like, well, let me figure that out. And I put it on Etsy and I did it as a digital download, and I've sold, you know, $500 worth of digital subscribe buttons, as digital downloads. I started making stickers because I wanted to learn how to craft with my Cricut. And I have some makeup girlies that buy these makeup swatch stickers, you know, where you have the little things. And so I was doing that. I have my course, iMovie Made Easy. I now have a service called Content Minis, where we either do scheduling or content creation for people. So we were making money that way, making money from Amazon Associates and Amazon Influencers. I was part of the TikTok Creativity Fund, right? And then I'm also making money from AdSense, channel memberships. I still have things like Buy Me a Coffee. And so I'm, those are some of the ways. And then affiliate programs, like the different ones, like Love Ecamm. I know you said that earlier. I almost wore my Ecamm shirt, but I didn't know if that was going to be appropriate. So I took my shirt, but I almost wore it. The one that was like, you're on mute. That's my favorite shirt.
it's a good shirt. Yeah. I think that the thing that gets me when you were listing all those things is that it wasn't, you were just, I mean, there's a lot of them and I love it because I do the same thing, but you were also very specific of like you listening to your audience and finding out what products or services they need. Like you made iMovie because you saw there was a need that there from your audience. You saw that the swatch stickers, because somebody said, hey, I that would be something that I would need to, you know, have the swatches on to try on stuff. So I think listening to your audience and then building stuff around there is key, instead of just going like, I want to make this course and everybody will buy it on because it's me, you know, you were listening and feeding a need. And Dustin did this too. And he's still, Dustin says multiple streams of income is super important, but Dustin, and I think he still does this every year. He comes out with a new guide on all the different social media, like what sizes you need for the pictures or for ads or whatever. And that was always super helpful, but it also got me on Dustin's email list. And so when he launched Magi, I knew about it because I had been subscribed to Dustin for years. So finding out what your audience needs, I think, is super, super important. One of the things as we go on to this, you know, talking about monetization, how do you approach brands? Because you mentioned you had some brand partnerships, you have some affiliate things. So how do you approach these brand partnerships and sponsorships for this short form content? I mean, is it for your entire channel, or do you do special brand deals? Just like, hey, I'll create like 10 YouTube shorts for you. Is there something specific you look for in a brand collaboration? I'm always fascinated about this kind of stuff.
I only do it with brands I actually use or like. So that's first of all. So I actually did a series on Ecamm on their channel, and I've been using Ecamm for 4 or 5 years. Ecamm is what I use to actually create my iMovie Made Easy whole course. Right. And what's funny is I was using Ecamm for, you know, months, using that for recording my tutorials and screen share before I ever live streamed with them. So I was backwards for how some people have used it. But like I genuinely only do it and talk about for the products that I wanted to actually be affiliated with. And so I had something randomly blow up on TikTok. And that's just the thing. You just never know what's going to hit, right? Mm-hmm. And so I had it was the syrups for Trani.
Oh yeah.
And the pump for it that you can buy. So I made this short little video, and technically it was for an Amazon influencer video because I was trying to sell the syrup and I was trying to sell the pump, right? Two different video theirs. And I was just doing a thing that said, you know, the little cups for like the kids, like Tylenol or something like that, that has a little measuring line on it. I was trying to demonstrate that if you do one pump of syrup, it's 10 milliliters of liquid. And so I pumped it a couple times in a couple different cups. I'm like, look, it's 10 milliliters every single time you do it. This is my favorite pump. Mm-hmm. It's literally like a 15-second video. And I put it on TikTok, and I think it got over 650,000 views over there, why anyone cares about that, did not tell you. But they really, like, people save it now even to, like, favorites and everything. I'm like, why? But anyways, Tarani actually reached out to me and said, hey, are you cool if we... Excuse me, that's so rude. Are you cool if we repost this? And I was like, yeah, if you give me some syrups. So they ended up sending me some syrups. We're friends now on TikTok because I made a video randomly, something I was trying to sell on Amazon. And that's how like short form vertical video can like change your world. If you think about it, different little things like that. I made a video on touch retouch as a tutorial, like how to erase some people from your background. I'm getting an email from them being like, oh my gosh, your video, I don't know why, because people really just want to erase things from their background. Like your video has like 60,000 views. Can we please have you be like an affiliate, give you like a sponsorship? Would you make more videos for us? So sometimes that happens where you're actually just talking about stuff that you actually love anyway. And that's the best kind of way to get into those brands and sponsorships, I think, because if all of a sudden one day I showed up on my YouTube channel and then I said something like, guys, we're going to play Clash Royale or something, like people would know that is never and I'm never going to throw away my entire brand on something that obviously the audience that knows me is going to be like, no, not even a little bit. I told actually my audience, I was like, if you ever see me doing like some sort of like Amazon book Audible sponsorship, you know, I've like lost the plot and gone off the deep end, because like once a year, I think I have like a post that's like Libby for all the things and like free library hookups. And I'm like, if you're telling me that all of a sudden I'm like, Audible is the best thing ever, like you'll know, like you should just stop watching me.
But yes,
it starts with stuff that you actually know and like and talk about and trust, because also people then knew that I was using Ecamm for like years, and then I started talking about Ecamm, and then I showed up on the Ecamm channel, and it was the same thing with TubeBuddy. I ended up doing some, well, actually I ended up working there for a bit of time, but it was because of a relationship that I formed with them, usually calling them out on stuff that I didn't like about their YouTube channel or about them and or their app, and because I actually genuinely cared. And so they offered me a spot in their rotation doing live streams on their channel. Eventually they ended up paying for my ticket to VidCon. They like all of this stuff. I had this relationship with them, and then I ended up getting a job there for a while. So, I mean, it all came from a place of, I like this product. I know this product. I love this product. I love this company. And I think that's always the best way to go genuinely about it. Are there now times when I can get like 10 emails a day from people who want Amazon videos because they see the Amazon videos blowing up?
Yes.
So many. But I also now, once you do a couple of these and you kind of like learn your way about it, and you're like, oh, I'm not doing that until I have the product, you pay me, and then I can say in the video, you know, like I was sent this product for free, and like I'm going to limit where I'm going to put it, and you don't get rights to it. And I mean, that's all stuff you negotiate. But and that's the thing, is like I would do it more as a showcase, but I would not do it as, I love this product, unless I've actually genuinely been using that product for a while, bought it myself too, and then they offered me something. I wouldn't come out with the same type of video than I would of, it's an unboxing.
Right.
And I got this product for free.
And it's the same thing with Ecamm. Was like, I was a user for a long time. You know, I love their stuff, and they were, you know, we made this partnership happen. So by the way, this is sponsored by Ecamm, the show.
Oh,
so
you can go there.
Yes, socialmedianewslive.com/Ecamm. Go check them out if you haven't already. Use code Jeff15 and you get 15% off your first purchase with them. So
absolutely vouch. I live stream with Ecamm every week, every Thursday, actually twice a week, because I go live on Sundays and I do Sad Song Sundays. I don't know if you know about that.
Yeah, I did. I watched it. Yeah, it's
great. Oh, thank you. Yeah, so I stream twice a week with Ecamm, and they've been reliable, and I love them. So
And that's the other thing is too, like if you do, and I just say it again, because Shelly mentioned it, you will get opportunities coming out of the woodwork. If you get on Amazon, be very, very particular with you, because some of it is just, they're just wanting people to put stuff on there, and the money, you know, if they tell me how I'm supposed to shoot something, then you have to charge more. Don't just like, hey, you know, if they give you any sort of direction, then you say, okay, that's a paid deal. It's X amount of money. So just from what I've learned. And my friend Shan Hernandez is here as well from KUPD. He is a rock star over there. Thanks, Shannon. He also helps me with Guy's podcast. So he's watching today. Thanks, Shan, man. One of the things when we're talking about monetization and making these brand deals is I know you had a question that I was going to jump on. I'm going to let you go take it, Paul.
So, yeah. Well, and you know, we're talking about different revenue streams, but you've also mentioned, you know, it depends on what you're using your short form on TikTok for and what kind of the goal is. But so how have you used all these different platforms to grow your brand? What's been your strategy for, you know, where you place the video and what's the, why are you driving it in different places?
So I'm going to say, do as I say, not as I do. Because, well, one of the reasons why I say that is also I use my YouTube channels and some of my social media sites as testing grounds and training grounds for my crew that I'm training in video editing. So, you know, I don't want to test and experiment on one of our clients' channels.
Right.
So I have them experiment on my channels. And so sometimes now, and one, it makes me look prolific, like, oh, look at you, you're putting out content. But it's actually, I'm doing it so that my team can understand how to use a scheduling system in the back end and how to create short form vertical video, because the more practice reps that they have at it, the better they'll be when we have other clients. And so for me, I don't personally care as much because I can look at at it and be like, oh, I don't really like this, but like, it's not going to like make or break my day if it's on my channel. Whereas a client, you know, with 500,000 subscribers on their YouTube channel, it might be like disappointing, or they don't want that, or there's something that I would tweak about it. And I would rather have them test and play on my YouTube channel than somewhere else. So that's why I'm saying, if you're looking at mine, it's going to look completely different than what we do for clients, because I want them to try and stretch and grow and like learn new skills versus what we do for our clients. So for me, one of the things that I'm doing now, I am trying to be a little bit more pointed about, especially Amazon. We've mentioned that a lot, but I have, let's say, 600 videos on my influencer page on Amazon, but I have not done a great job at making sure that the equity, or that it's parity, is correct when it comes to having them on my Pinterest, on my YouTube, on my, I have a separate Facebook page for that shopping video thing. So now I'm having them go through and be like, hey, here's a spreadsheet. Let's figure out, how do we like best and most efficiently put it on all these other platforms? What do we need to do to change this? How do we make sure that there's a Genius link attached to all of these? And so that's kind of where like the new focus is for them, is just figuring out how to do all these things so that they're more well-versed when it comes to some new client coming in. So that's why mine looks a little bit more sporadic because it's training. I'm just not precious about that. And maybe I should be, but that's not like my brand. My brand is a little bit more like raw, authentic. And like, I always wanted to test it and try it and report back. And so that's why if someone's like, it's a hot mess, and I'm like, that's fine, but yours is going to be great.
I do the same thing on my Pinterest stuff and other channels. Like, I'd like, you know, I'm like, I'm trying to get it to work, and you have to test somewhere.
It's all theory. If you don't, if you have no data, how are you supposed to make any data driven decisions? If you have no experience, how are you going to talk to people about what works and what doesn't? You don't. It's all theory at that point. And it's no better than some professor at some college who talks about these things and never has like a real world business, right? And like, how is that going to be effective to the people who are actually trying to learn how to do this in college to go do it? It's not. It's theory. So like, I like to put into practice the things that we're saying so that we actually have real data to come back and be like, you know what, we tried this. Maybe here's a couple of caveats about what I would or wouldn't do if you would try this on your channel.
Yeah. Great points. Oh, by the way, how many Boot sponsorships have you gotten yet?
Oh my God, I would love to. Old Gringo, if you're out there, hit me up, hit a girl up.
So we were talking about data. So how do you, and especially for short form content, because I really think that a lot of people don't know, like, what are the insights and analytics that you use to kind of shape your content and monetization strategy when you start seeing some success for YouTube Shorts? Is it all just views, or is it, I mean, I don't even know on YouTube Shorts if you can get granular and see, you know, how long they watched. And I mean, like, what are you looking for in a good short form video?
I'm looking for retention. If it can be near 100% or over 100%, some people are like, their YouTube thing is broken. It's 126%. No. They're actually watching it again, and they're looping it, right? Because until you swipe away, it's just going to keep playing. So I'm not looking for 50% retention on a YouTube short. I'm looking for like 112% retention on a YouTube short. And not only that, I'm looking for how many subscribers it drove on the back end. And then, and the way that you can do that is because we had clients. And so one of the things, I love this one, it was such a good one. I took a screenshot. I think it posted on Twitter. I posted it on Twitter. And I said something like, wow, this person got like 100,000 views this month extra, and they got an extra 1,800 subscribers because of YouTube Shorts that we created from their live stream. I'm like, that is freaking awesome. If you can go to a client and be like, look at what we did. And they were happy as a clam. They were so excited about it because they were like, wow, once I did and finished that live stream, I was done with it. And I was able to give you an extra 100,000 views and an extra 1,800 subscribers. Like, that's a big deal for a lot of people. And so if you can like bring that kind of number and clarity to someone and be like, this is the type of thing that could happen for you, depending on how good your live stream is as well. His was more of a listicle of like top 20 blank that you can get, like my favorite. And so we took all of those videos and we broke out each one of those 20. And so we had minimum 20 because he was talking about 20 things, but sometimes he would talk about it for more than a minute. So we would make multiple videos about the thing that he was talking about. And it was, you know, the best X about this, and then the best feature about this. And so there were like three or four videos on one particular item. And we put out, I don't even remember how many like shorts at a time. The guys, I call them the brothers because they're brothers, my editing team. And I was like, I think they made like 60 some videos from that gentleman's like live stream. Mm-hmm. And even some of the comments, and that's how you know that they're also being effective, that people don't think this was a waste and fluff of a video. People are like, I love these short reviews, man. Or like, I love that this, you know, totally helped me on making a buying decision. And so you know that you're also driving sales because you're able to, well, at the time they had clickable links. They don't have clickable links right. anymore in YouTube Shorts. But if you think about that, then if you took that same video and then you decide to put them on Pinterest with a link that is clickable, you could then be tracking how many, you know, if you, well, you can make a separate UTM link for that separate site mm-hmm. as well, and then track how many times people are clicking that link. You could see how many sales you're driving to Amazon as well. So not only then you look in your analytics and you take everything that you have for the month and you say, hey, Sony, I was able to sell, you know, $200,000 worth of earbuds for you this month. Hey, maybe we talk about you send me the new ones out this month and I can make a video on it. That's going to, you know, blah, blah, blah. And similarly, you right. can use your stuff. If it's not for a brand sponsorship, at least it's for a free product.
Yeah. And once again, I think you see that have those analytics, but you also ask. So many people don't ask. Like, I had a couple episodes ago, we had the gal from Shure on the show. And I said, hey, you know, I would love to review your new mic. And boom, she sent it. Yeah. I mean, it's just so go watch that one. That's a really great show as well. But you also have to ask. And all they can do is say no. And then just like, OK, and move on. Like,
I will say the stronger the ask is, the more data and numbers you have behind you.
Right.
So if you say, you know, hey, Mario, or hey, Kristen over at Shure, by the way, and I did that once because I had received a mic from Shure and I sent them a thing. And I was like, look at this. I sold 5 mics this month or something. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it was a couple $1,000s, but right. at least he was like, really? And I was like, yeah. So, I mean, that mic that you sent me, that was $150. Like, I just sold $2,000 of mics for you this month. Imagine right. if you, and then he's like, do you want some headphones? And I'm like, I sure do. And, you know, yeah. and it works if you can do that. And, yeah. So, I would highly recommend using your own analytics to give to brands to show them that you have influence. Because when you don't have, let's say, a huge following, right? Let's say you're only represented on Amazon, but you're selling, you know, thousands of products of a month for a brand. They need to know that.
Right. Yeah. Very, very cool. This is all good stuff. I love all of this. I want to go in and start moving into our next section so we have time. I want to talk about some of your things, Shelley. You know, you've created this course called iMovie Made Easy. So can you share some insights into some of the tools that you think short form video creators need, or some skills maybe they even need to master?
You know, one thing I would say, some people have this misnomer that you can't actually edit a vertical video inside of iMovie, and I'm here to tell you actually can. There's a workaround to do it. You don't get as many options, but yeah, you can do that. And you know what? That's not even gatekeep behind a course. That's for free on my YouTube channel. You can go find it. But I would say in general, okay, so about the course, that is designed to kind of shut people up and have them remove excuses for like, I can't make videos because I don't know how to edit. That's the only reason it exists, is because I was so tired of people saying that. And I'd be like, okay, put up or shut up. Here, I'm going to teach you how to do it. Walk through it in 5 hours. You're going to be like maybe not a pro, but you're going to be like feeling very comfortable in how to edit. And then it really removes that barrier, the obstacle, and the excuse that I don't know how to edit, because it's really put up or shut up. And I'm like, okay, now you know how to edit. What are you going to do with it? But when it comes to what makes more intriguing video, I think people get really caught up in like whatever tools and things. And I'm like, honestly, a couple of jump cuts, like InShot or CapCut or something like that, you're good to go. Like, just make sure that the content is actually interesting and the first 5 seconds are intriguing. That's really all it comes down to.
Shannon says, I can't make videos because I don't have an epic beard like Jeff. But you have the rock star long hair, Shannon Hernandez. So yeah, just,
you know what? I don't either. And I still made it work.
Yeah. So that's, you know, we're talking about courses. I know Paul has a course on email because he crushes it on email marketing. I have one on Descript because I think it's changed everything on the way I edit audio and video and short form stuff. Paul, ask your question because I'm vamping here. Because
I'm going to say I'm plus one for Descript. That's actually one of the tools that we use for our company. So absolutely great company as well, and a great product. And so yeah, Ecamm, Descript. See, Jeff, you're rolling with the good companies because those are all 100% ones that I
mean, and they're, and like, we'll go back to what you said before. There's stuff that I use, and I'm like, this stuff I've got to share. And I created the corporate script because it's kind of like what you do with iMovie. People open it up and are like overwhelmed. Like, oh, yeah. I don't even know where to start. And then you have to kind of walk them through it, and then they get it, and then they make templates and all that stuff. So anyway,
aside.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, in Descript where you can, sorry, it's not all about Descript, but no. You know, where you can clone your own voice.
Yeah.
I have a YouTube short. Of course I do. I have a YouTube short about Descript, but I did a script where it's half me and half me, my robot voice.
Oh yeah.
And then I asked people to distinguish which was which, and they could vote. And apparently I either sound like a robot or my robot sounds extremely like me, because half of them got it wrong. And I was like, you know what? This technology is never going to be this bad again. It's only going to get better. So watch out. And then there was a live stream that I did where I did, I copy pasted like this little parable from Google. I did it in my voice. And then I added in a couple of different like B-roll things from the script. So I didn't even have to say a single word, and I still had a YouTube short. And there's a live stream of me doing that.
it's really bonk. And their new regenerate feature, which you can have, like if Paul flubbed a word, I can actually just put a cut there and it will generate and take out, like if the dog's barking, I can probably take that out into Descript. I just put a cut there and it will regenerate that with AI. It is such a time saver. It is amazing. So anyway, sorry.
Cooper may not appreciate the,
I know
I do. Thank you so much.
Yes. But anyway, go ahead, Paul. Sorry. We got off track here.
And here's where, you know, I like shiny new things. So I get bogged down in chasing all these new cool features. And with your team, you're talking about testing on YouTube. So how are you balancing just using the established tools and technology with them playing with this new stuff that is out there? And what advice do you have for people like me that just want to chase the cool stuff?
Chase it. What's going to happen?
That's good.
So it's kind of like everything else is like figure outable, and pretty much everything is recoverable. Right. So like when, oh my gosh, I am dying to get my hands on the new, have you seen the new generative kind of music thing that they got on in YouTube Shorts? I'm dying to get my hands on that. So when they come out with new features, I want to test it. I want to try it. And I want to see, because if someone asks me about it too, like I want to have an opinion on it. I hate it when someone's like, here's this, what do you think? And I'm like, I've never heard of that before, because it makes me feel like I'm bad at my job, because this is my job technically. So when someone says that, I'm like, I don't know yet, but I'm going to find out everything about it and make a video on it. And that's how I feel. So I always feel like I'm always down for like testing, experimentation and trying, because I think you just don't know how cool something is or isn't until you try it. I chase it. So, absolutely.
Global Wildfire Equipment says, so many people are afraid of all things AI, yet there are so many life-saving tools that are coming out daily. There's one that I wish Descript would have, and I'm sure that someday it does, but sometimes I'll export my video from Descript, drop it into Premiere, because the thing now with Adobe Premiere is their new Remix, where you can have, as a video editor, one of the things you always want the music to hit on that beat, like just right, you know, at the end. And that was really hard. You'd have to do like splices and try to get it to hit on the, now it does it automatically with AI. You just drag it out as long as you want. And Premiere will make the music work and it sounds flawless. And so that is a huge time saver.
One thing that's actually really cool inside of Premiere, and it's one of the only reasons I ever use it, is if you've done the thing where I think it's pretty much kind of what you're talking about, but you can give it any piece of music and then have it go to any length of time that you need.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so cool. That feature right there has been one of the coolest that's like one of the only things I use.
Remix. Yeah. It's Gary says, I love Remix. It really is awesome. Yes, Gary. And it's fabulous. The stuff you can do now, it's just, when I started with like Premiere 2, we wouldn't even dream about that kind of stuff. So
if I were Gary, I might say something like, here's how to make any song exactly the length of time that you need.
Yeah. Gary, and he's
you never have to fight with, you know, trying to find the perfect thing or trying to cut it and loop it. Like, here's how you can do it automatically, you know, like there's your line.
So Shannon says, who is my sound guy, he taught me everything I know about stuff. He says, been using Remix in Audition for years, and Remix is fantastic in Audition. So it's another Adobe product.
I
used product.
It once because I saw it in a Peter McKinnon tutorial back when he did tutorials.
Yeah.
So I saw that feature and I was like, oh my gosh, that is amazing.
Yeah. So I want to make sure we have time to talk. So I'm going to kind of end with this question. Like, what advice would you give someone just starting out with creating short form content? Like, they're going to do it in 2024. They're going to go all in. Doesn't matter what platform, but what would you say, like, something maybe that you struggled with that you overcame that you would want to give advice to somebody who's just starting?
Oh, I'd say the limit does not exist when it comes to quantity, as much as you want, like honestly, because you're never going to know unless you learn, try and do. And that's the thing about it is one, you never know what's going to hit. And two, if you think that your subscribers are going to get inundated and like overwhelmed by it, first of all, what subscribers if you're just starting out? Second of all, you can always go into the back end of YouTube Studio and check off the feature for notify subscribers of this upload. Three, it doesn't really matter that much because almost 90%, 95% of the views that are going to come on shorts are going to come from the YouTube Shorts shelf anyway. And the more chances that you have, basically it's more at bats to have hopefully have one that just takes off because you have no control over which one is actually going to take off as much as you would love to, Princess. That's just not how it works. So you can have a good idea of what you think might actually be intriguing to people, but the audience will decide what it actually wants. So I would just say go out there and experiment and try.
Mm, that is great advice. Yeah. We get too worried about what people will think and like, oh, we'll look stupid. And most people don't care.
They just not care about you. You're never going to see them in real life, really. And most of the time when you do see someone in real life, they're not going to be like, ooh, that video was so cringe. And guess what? You can walk away from them. It doesn't matter. Like, they have no effect on your life unless they're paying your bills in some way, unless they're your boss and you're saying, hey, maybe you shouldn't have been doing that on company property in time. Right. That's a whole other conversation. But until then, I'm going to be like, no, just go do it. Because I think people are so obsessed with what other people think about them. And it's not even about that. It's about what you think of, like what you put out. Did you like it? Were you learning something? Did you try some new trick? Was that a thought that you really wanted to share? And if you think about it, if you're very passionate about whatever it is, there's no one that is going to have 100% of the people agree with them on like anything. So it's like, just get that out of your head right away and just go say what you really mean and do it how you really feel. And then you'll find the people that actually vibe with you. And that's way better than just like being 100% like contrived and fake so that you have all these things and you're so worried about like crafting your image and your brand and not ruining it all. I'm like, it's really easy to be on brand if that's just who you are. Mm.
That is a great line to end the show, but I want to have you, Shelly, tell people where you find it and tell a little bit about this Content Minis thing, because it sounds really, really cool and a service that I think a lot of people need.
Thank you. So Content Minis is, we call it a micro content repurposing. So we rip apart your live streams and your long form videos. It works really well with people with listicle style videos, like top 5 reasons or, you know, top 20 headphones that I love, those types of things. We have everything on, honestly. We have beauty people. We've got all kinds of content, but we basically will give you a dedicated editor for a certain amount of time each day. And then we will take your videos and rip them apart and give you videos. Now we have a second part of our service, which is now that we have all these videos, do you want us to schedule them for you across different socials? And that's a new part of our service, which is really exciting because people are really loving that, because before they were overwhelmed because they were like, I'm overwhelmed and I don't know and I don't have time to edit. And then we're like, okay, well, put up or shut up. Here we go. Here's 60 videos. And then they're like, we're overwhelmed. We don't know what to do with it or where to put it. And I'm like, okay, well, put up or shut up. We've got this service now that will put it out for you. So it's kind of exciting because now you can do it either way. You can have us create content and schedule, or you can just have us schedule content or just have us create content. It's kind of a choose your own adventure. And I love that because people actually get what they want and they feel good about it, because then they finally get to be like, oh my gosh, I get to have all this time back. One of our clients was like, I get to have all this time back with my family that I would be worried about scheduling across all these platforms. And we're like, you're welcome. And you're getting it at a bargain. So it's really exciting. And we do have room right now for a few more clients. And it's really fun because I call them the brothers, but they're very eager to keep learning. So now we're moving into things like we're doing YouTube channel management, and I'm teaching them. We have all these tutorials that I've made, screen recordings in Ecamm, about like how to do X on YouTube or how to do Y in Vista Social. And they're learning all these cool skills and they get to flex them. And then they're like, okay, let's do this. And now randomly, because I always get like badgered into like, well, will you do this? And that's how scheduling came to be in the first place. It's like, will you do this for us? I'm like, no. And they're like, okay, for you, maybe. And now all of a sudden, okay, and for you, maybe. Yeah. And so now it's also like, now we're doing some long form video editing, which I never thought we would do for people's YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. And I was even afraid to even approach the brothers and be like, do you guys want to do beauty videos? And they were like, yes. And I was like, really? And they were super excited about it. So now I'm like, okay, I guess we kind of do that too. So all the things that I pretty much said I wasn't going to do, we're testing and trying and experimenting and we're doing it. And so it's super fun. We really have a good time. And so if you want to join, we have room for about four 4 more clients right now before have to go on and hire someone else.
There's some people, and ShellySavesTheDay.com is her website, but Global Wildfire Management System, this sounds like a great service. What's the link? So is it your website?
ContentMinis.com. You can read all the information about it.
ContentMinis.com is where you can go. There is also, I think you can find it through her services page.
There's like YouTube consulting and channel evaluations. And then I think there's the content. Right. Minis.
Yeah. So ShellySavesTheDay.com is kind of her main website for you guys listening on the podcast. And we also have a communication coach, Alexander Lyon, says, can I offer a testimonial? I'm an actual client of Shelly's service and it's amazing. It has changed the game and saved tons of time for me. So right Alex. There, her fan club is saying, yeah, you got to check this out.
If you want to see some of the work that the brothers have done for Alex, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. Some of his LinkedIn posts from our team.
Very cool. So that is awesome. So check out Shelly Nation at ShellySavesTheDay.com. We also have Mr. Paul Gowder, the amazing Paul Gowder. So where can people find out more about you, Paul?
Yeah, come over to PaulGowder.com. I'd love to talk with you, especially helping you with your email.
Yeah, he is amazing email. It's not just like, he's not just running like a little email. Like he has how big is your group, Paul? Just tell me, how big is your power school?
Our email subscribers are about 110,000 right now.
Yeah. Ooh. So he knows how to do email, folks. So if you want to find out more about Paul, go to paulgowder.com. He is one of the guys I go to for email. So check him out and make sure you check out our folks over at Ecamm who help sponsor the show at socialmedianewslive.com/Ecamm. Check out all of our guests. Thank you so much, Global Wildfire Equipment, for chiming in today. Adam's Exploits, all you folks who dropped in comments, Gary, amazing comments as well. Gary wants to know where you found your name. Where did you get the idea for your YouTube channel?
Way back in the day, I had a YouTube channel. It was called Shelly and Jade because I did it with a friend of mine. We were doing some beauty content because as a woman, we were entrained that that's the only thing we can do on YouTube, or cooking or fashion. And so we decided to break up after a year because I wanted to talk about how to help creators talk about like video editing, lighting, and all that equipment. And she's like, I want to talk about skincare. And I'm like, that sounds great for you on your own channel. So I was going to make a new channel. And I was like, Shelly what? Shelly. And then I was like, I don't know what I am because it's too hard to define me because I just am what I am. And so I was like, Shelly what? And then I was like, and then I used to be called the Savings Ninja because I can always find something on sale. Like I will always find a coupon or a code or something. And right. I was like, Shelly Saves. And then I was like, wait, Saves the Day. And then I was like, oh yeah, because like the superhero in me, little icon. And I saw this and I was like, yes, because it's also nicheless and I can save the day in any single way I want to. It could be advice on something, or I could like teach you something, or it could be just like making you laugh for the day. And I was like, yeah, because if I did like Shelly like bakes today, that's kind of limiting, right?
Yeah.
I'm kind of locked in. So I was kind of like, I'm really just going to talk about whatever I want to. And that's one of the reasons, and I can tell you this, always do as I say, not as I do, which is why I can help other people. I just can't help myself. And that's why I coach people on how to do it. Right. And so I was like, saves the day. That sounds about right.
Very cool. There you go, Gary. Thank you for the question today. And thank all of you guys for watching this. Once again, don't forget our sponsors, Ecamm. They are amazing. They have a great community. And with that, we'll see you guys next week. Have a great New Year's. Bye, everybody.
Social Media News Live.